This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because mm-hmm. they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio app. Hope you're great. Of course, Dan the Danettes, they're already overseas in Ireland. Get ready for next week's shows and, of course, next week's college football kickoff. And meanwhile, we're just a couple of dudes, me, Dan Beyer, my man Jason Stewart, John Ramos, filling in for Dan and the Danettes. The Dan Patrick Show is brought to you by PXG. PXG's new Gen 6 driver. So good, we'll bet it's better than yours. Test our Gen 6 driver, and if it doesn't deliver more distance or tighter dispersion than yours, well, we'll give you $100. Join the Gen 6 driver challenge at PXG.com. Nobody makes golf clubs the way that we do, period. You know, I was thinking about this, Dan. The last three off seasons, maybe even four, I would challenge anyone to tell me I'm wrong that maybe not. I mean, I think last year they definitely did dominate discussion. But maybe not in every individual week. But if you group together how many TV radio segments of the offseason were based upon this one team, you might end up agreeing with me in regards to which team has been the most discussed in the NFL. And what's interesting about this team is it's like they don't exist anymore. That team's the Cleveland Browns. Because if you go back, remember, and this was several years ago, right? This would have been, I guess, 6 years ago that they won one game between two seasons. And then when they drafted Baker Mayfield, from that point forward, it was, you know, it was like candy to all of us, where there was always a Baker or Cleveland Browns discussion. Coaching changes, Baker's bravado. Of course, you had Cowherd talking about whether or not he did too many commercials. Dan has known so much of what's going on in Cleveland. And then, of course, you fast forward to the, you know, when they decided to go after Deshaun Watson and Baker was kind of sent out to pasture. All of it. That was, and then the guaranteed contract. Am I wrong to think that over the last 4 or 5 years preceding this year, you could make the case that they were the most discussed team in total in the offseason?
I am in lockstep with you. And I think that you could even make a case going back a few years prior to that just because of Manziel and his arrival. Like, there was always something about the Browns, and whether it be Manziel, whether it be Baker, whether it be just that fan base in the playoff drought, there was always something there. And there is something missing. And I don't know, like, I don't know if it's because they won that playoff game against the Steelers, you know, a couple of years ago, and that ended the drought. But I don't think that that's it. I don't think that that is the issue that's why we aren't paying attention. I think that's too easy. That's low-hanging fruit because they still have a star quarterback on their team. But I kind of think it's maybe the star quarterback is the reason why we aren't paying attention anymore.
I agree with that. I just think we don't want to, since they're not good, and he doesn't appear to be nearly as good as he was in Houston or his reputation coming out of Houston is, it's like we don't even want to deal with it. Like, why deal with it to where you don't know that there's any story that you put out or any discussion that you have that you don't mention Deshaun Watson's, off the field antics from when he was in Houston, you'll get people that are like, well, why are you not talking about that? On the other hand, if you do talk about it, it doesn't feel like it fits because it was years ago, right? It just, and then you factor in like, well, what do we really, do we need to talk about a team that won 4 games last year that doesn't appear? Jay Stu, why do you think they've fallen off the storyline map?
I think that what you just referred to, I think there is there's creepiness and weirdness to this Deshaun thing, and I think it's still there. So on a national level, it is hard for people to get into this team and break down the X's and O's without sounding either insensitive to that, or if you cover it, it's a big downer. And how about this? What, at least 3 or 4 quarterbacks have signed huge deals since that contract. What, Jalen Hurts and Lamar and Justin Herbert. None of them have come close to that guaranteed money, and I think that makes it an even bigger eyesore in how foolish the Browns are and how irresponsible they are. So all this stuff, there aren't a lot of great things to discuss when it comes to their quarterback, so I guess we choose not to discuss them at all.
It's a fascinating thing, though, on how I'm actually watching, believe it or not, on ESPN, they're actually talking about Deshaun Watson. We go around the league, and this is, without any question, the most covered league. And if it's not just because of the popularity numbers in terms of watching the games, but I mean, Dan Byer will tell you he's got his I Want Your Flex podcast, right? Where it's the fantasy football element to it, the gambling element to it. And every major network is now covering it. I mean, you want to talk about the proliferation of sports on TV? How about the NFL being on ESPN, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and now digitally on Amazon as well, and the NFL Network? That's 7 networks covering it.
YouTube TV as well.
Oh, and YouTube TV, which it's not really a network, but it's kind of it's like the sports grid of things where you can get a little everything. And so we're always looking for stories, and there are teams. For a long time, we'll talk a little bit later about the Chargers, where they've just kind of existed in anonymity, be it in San Diego or when they were playing in Carson, now not so much so. But it's really fascinating to see the Browns go from the talk of the league, or at least of the media that covers the league, to just a team.
There is also something at play here, Doug, because I think that Cleveland is unique, not entirely unique. I think that there are other NFL markets that are similar to it, but not many. And one of the markets is Detroit. And look at how much love the Lions are getting on a season where we expect great things. And the reason that I bring it up is with the Browns, We followed them when there was dysfunction. As you mentioned, we followed them in the seasons where they won one game in those combined 2 seasons. And then we followed them as Baker Mayfield was leading them towards 500. And then we followed them to the playoffs. And I mentioned that win against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then guess what? They fell from that. We were still kind of following that. Then Deshaun Watson becomes available, and it's done. Over with. And the feel-good story at the Lions permeates throughout the NFL. And I feel that the Browns were that drama with the up and down. They were the city that people don't necessarily love, but you can understand how much the fan base loves their team. And there was something about that. And I love Cleveland, by the way. I think Cleveland's a great city. But there was something about that. And now It's all gone. And I think it's just because of the signing of Deshaun Watson.
They do could you really love Cleveland? Do you really love Cleveland?
I do enjoy really it. I've been to Cleveland multiple times. Sometime, once for the NBA Finals, once on my own vacation. Yeah, I've been to Cleveland 3 or 4 times. I enjoy
I've
it.
I've been to Cleveland. Yeah. I like Cleveland. I can't say that it's any spot that I'm like, man, this is the place. Although, you know, I have Allie LaForce I used to work with. She's a superstar with TNT. She grew up on the lake, but just outside of Cleveland. She swears by it. Again, I have no hatred for Cleveland. I just can't say that it would be one that, like, man. Cleveland.
I'm a Midwest guy, so there's, you know, ties to that, obviously. So
sure, but in the Midwest city rankings, where would that be?
No, it wouldn't be one, but I think that people would say that. I think on the surface, if you haven't been or aren't from there, you would think that it's towards the bottom, and I really enjoy Cleveland. Hmm. Yeah, there's something about it.
What were you going to say, Ramos?
I was just going to say that we had a discussion earlier, not today, but in earlier shows about teams that are indifferent, and I always felt like the Cleveland Browns were one of those teams. Like, nobody really hated the Cleveland Browns. And more people, like, loved them. There wasn't, like, this, like, if they went to the Super Bowl, there wasn't going to be this backlash. Like, I can't stand them. I hope they lose. Like, people are like, it's Cleveland wins. Cool. But now I agree with Dan that I think people have a dislike now for them. And it's almost like selling your soul to the devil kind of deal.
Outside of a Bengals or Steelers fan, like, I feel that the Titans are, like, indifferent. You know, and again, you know, AFC South teams may feel different. Jaguars a bit like that. But outside of, like, the Pittsburgh fans and the Cincinnati fans and the Ravens fans in that division, I think that people would have cheered for Cleveland in the Super Bowl if their team wasn't in the Super Bowl. I think that they would have had the backing. They've got the Super Bowl drought, the drive, the fumble, all of that narrative going to it. I think people rally behind that, hoping that they win. Maybe that's the other parallel with Detroit of getting to a Super Bowl, not winning that world championship in so long. But there's just no, there's not even a buzz about them at all. Like, it's just, it's almost like they don't even exist right now.
Yeah.
Weird.
That was really my point. It's like you look around and there's just nothing. It's just nothing. And it is fascinating to see how, I guess one player has done it, but let's be honest. I mean, a good portion of it is that they weren't any good, but I do think it's like we would just rather not talk about them than have to kind of dig through a way to talk about them because of Deshaun Watson.
Yes, and they're not devoid of star players with Watson, with yeah. Nick Chubb, with Amari Cooper, with Myles Garrett. Like, there's – yeah. Like, there's enough there to make you interested. And I just think that it just naturally happens. People just don't want to deal with them.
Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. Doug Gottlieb in for Dan, the Danettes, along with my guys, Dan Beyer. Of course, Jason Stewart and John Ramos. It's the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We got a great next, 20 minutes for you. We'll do some baseball first, some college football second. And look, Major League Baseball. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dan. Okay. Look, the idea of having an umpire or taking away the umpire and having it basically called by computer or robot or, the idea of not having a living human being calling balls and strikes is getting, it feels like closer and closer. Right? We got AI technology, which anybody who has kids knows, kids use it to write their papers. I'm just fascinating on what actual baseball players think of the idea of having some form of robot umpire. Let's welcome in Matt Holliday, of course, a 7-time All-Star, 4-time Silver Slugger. Should be noted that his son Jackson is the number one prospect in minor league baseball after being the number one pick of the Orioles in the minor league draft in the amateur draft going back to last year. Matt, good morning to you. Where are you on umpires as opposed to the robots in New York calling balls and strikes?
Well, I think that I think, you know, AAA has the challenge where they can challenge. I don't know what the exact rules are, how often you can challenge it, but I at least like the idea that a hitter gets an opportunity to challenge the balls and strikes. They did it at the Futures game. It was the first time I'd seen it in person, and it was a pretty cool deal where, you know, the hitter steps out, challenges, and then they go to the Jumbotron in the outfield, and it shows this technology where it almost like kind of like tennis, where it shows the ball coming through, and then, you know, it's a ball instead of a strike, or a strike instead of a ball, and then, you know, that's the result. So I don't know if I'm in favor of completely going to sort of this just umpires standing there relaying the information they're getting from the technology, but I think that the hitter having an opportunity to challenge one pitch in a bat, or I don't know what exactly, you know, how much or what the rule should be, but I do like the idea in a big spot if an umpire gets carried away with the emotions of the game, or, you know, you have an umpire that's struggling that night and not doing a very good job, and it's a big call, and it's a strike three or a pitch that's a big point in the game that's going to impact the outcome of the game, that you have a chance to go however you want to phrase it, a computer or something that's totally doesn't have, you know, take the emotion out of the game and just kind of is what it is. So I'm, you know, as a hitter, I like to be right, particularly in and out. I understand that some of the technology might cause, you know, some high strikes or some low strikes, maybe some breaking balls that end up almost in the dirt, catching the bottom half of the strike zone. But I'm okay with that if you get the in and out right. Those are the ones. It's really hard as a hitter to cover off the plate both away and inside at times that umpires give. So I am in favor of some sort of technology.
Yeah, I guess the fear is that it turns into football, where, you know, football replay, as good as it is and as many games as it's changed and bad calls as it's saved, we have reached the point where even on a game-winning touchdown, we can't just, like, celebrate organically. Hold on. We got to wait to see if that one right? It takes away some of the organic nature to it. And you don't want that. In addition to which, like, I don't know. And again, I know I obviously didn't play it nearly at your level, but I don't know. Kind of the cool thing about baseball has always been that no park is uniform, right? So everybody has their own park rules, and no umpire's strike zone is uniform. So, hey, this guy likes the low ones. I don't know. I kind of think that's the beauty to it, is the human factor. And I fear that we're taking the human factor out of it.
Yeah. I see that, but I mean, then there's the idea of hitting 97 mile an hour fastballs where this umpire likes the outside, off the outside corner. That's great that he likes that, but that doesn't make it, you know, easy to hit or even possible to hit. So I don't know. I think that if we have the technology to get the balls and strikes right, I don't see why we don't use it. You know, I'm okay with the current situation, but as a hitter, there's nothing more maddening than having counts changed in the pitcher's favor because, you know, when we have technology, when you get it goes from a 2-1 count, I'm in a good spot, to a 1-2 count because he misses a pitch that's clearly off the plate. I have respect for umpires. It's a hard job, and I think that all in all, they do a really, really good job. But if we get to the point where it's quick to have, you know, very, very accurate balls and strikes, then I'm good with getting it right over tradition, you know, in this situation, because it doesn't take long, unlike replay in the NFL, where you have to run over and get under the hood, and somebody, you know, could take up to a few minutes to check it. This is instant. Notification of what's, you know, a ball or a strike.
How do you fix the Yankees?
Well, I think at this point they've gotten a little bit old. They're hurt. They're banged up. A lot of their pitchers are hurt. Guys that they've counted on to really carry the rotation has been kind of a mess. So, you know, sometimes, you know, obviously having a ton of money and being able to go out in the free agent market and buy essentially, you know, whoever you want is a great thing. But you have to have an influx of young talent, you know, coming and being able to supplement free agents as opposed to rely on free agents. So, you know, I think sometimes you just can't help injuries, you know, and sometimes a guy like, you know, Stan, who, you know, at one point was an elite player and a great athlete. You know, injuries have taken its toll on him, and you know, Rizzo's hasn't hit for power this year, and he's had some injuries, and so I think you just have to be careful of having too many older players that are somewhat injury prone or starting to head in that, you know, sort of down part of their career where. And then it really tests your depth of how good your young players are, and they just haven't performed maybe to what they thought. So I think it's been kind of a culmination of a lot of things going wrong this year. And, you know, there's several teams have had that. You know, you had the Mets and the Padres and the Cardinals all also, you know, coming into this season, we all would have guessed with an extra playoff spot that all those teams would have been. Probably right in the middle of playoffs, but you know, it looks like none of them will be in. So, it's baseball can be weird like that, where you know a couple key injuries and you know a couple guys have down years, and next thing you know it can look really bad.
Are they built for the past era? Right? How much of it is injuries, but how much of it is like, look, baseball has dramatically changed. You and I talked about this in person, talked a bit on my show, which is now athleticism is now a priority on the base pass. It's a priority. You have to be able to cover your position. Can't hide you with the shift. Right.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's a different sport. And so the construct of teams has to be different, and these teams are just slow to adjust to everything that's changed within this season.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a good point. I do think that sometimes you're sort of tied to a contract, right? So you're tied into some contracts that you've already signed, you know, sort of pre-shift and you know, looking at the game a little bit differently with athleticism. But I do think you're right in that it is a more athletic game. I think, you know, the ability to manufacture runs and, you know, to do things a little different, it's coming back around, you know, to where we had gotten to the point where it was sort of everybody just wanted, you know, home run hitters and guys that walk and, you know, play that. And now it looks like.
Did we lose him, or is that me? Okay, we lost Matt. We'll get him back in 1 second. This is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Matt Holliday's our guest, 7-time All-Star, 4-time Silver Sluggers. We're discussing things in Major League Baseball. I do if there he is. There he is. Matt, let me end with this. The Dodgers have won 10 in a row. Now, I think we can all say, hey, the Braves are the best team in baseball and be okay with that. It felt like a transition year for the Dodgers, so they really didn't do much. Fix the bullpen, fix the rotation. Everybody thinks they're going after Shohei and then going to fix things next year. But now you're sitting at 73-46, winners of 10 games in a row. How much of this is real and how much of this is just a heater?
I think they're good. I mean, I think they're, you know, they still have a lot of great players. I mean, they have two of the best players in the league with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. They still have Clayton Kershaw, who when he's healthy is pitching like he, you know, peak Clayton Kershaw. They've done an incredible job despite picking later in the first round, you know, and not having a ton of high drafts of developing a lot of really good young players and a lot of impact pitchers. So when they go to their farm system, it seems like the guys they bring up come up with and have an impact. And so they have some sneaky good players, and like Will Smith and some of these guys that, you know, out on the West Coast maybe don't get the love that they would if they played on the East Coast. So I think they just continue to be good and roll out, you know, division winning seasons. And so I think they're good. I mean, they have experience. A lot of their players, their veteran players have won a World Series. And I just think, you know, they're going to be tough out, and I think that they play well at home. It's a very tough place to go in and win at Dodger Stadium. So I definitely think that they might be flying under the radar a little bit with the way as good as the Braves have played. But I think the Dodgers are going to be right in the middle of the National League when it comes to playoff time.
Awesome stuff. Matty, thanks so much for joining us, dude. Have a great day. Good luck in the whatever pickleball your game you're playing in today, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Okay. All right. Thanks, Doug.
Matt Holliday, pickleball All-American, burgeoning pickleball star who also played 15 years in the major leagues and was a 7-time All-Star and 4-time Silver Slug.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
Dan, I wanted to start with, and for people who don't know, okay, so my show is daily, 3 to 5 Eastern time on Fox Sports Radio, foxsportsradio.com, iHeart app. And, of course, we have an hour live podcast that's from 5 to 6. You can pick it up whatever, but we do it, you know, in the third hour of the show. Dan, of course, part of that show. And then Dan has his own show on weekends. Plus, he has his own I Want Your Flex podcast, which will, I would encourage you to download because it'll get you ready for this upcoming NFL season. But I want to start with the Michael Orr story, only in that, look, there's all kinds of little stories we can get to. Right, Brock Purdy has thrown 10 camp interceptions. I don't know if we care about that or the Trey Lance. Do they even want him in San Francisco? We could get to the abject disaster, which is the Eric Bieniemy relationship right now with the Washington Commanders. There's only one quasi holdout. It's Josh Jacobs, but you feel like he's going to show up right before the first week of the season and then play on that franchise tag because he doesn't really have any options. There's lots of little stories we could get to, but this is a story that it, Jay Stu, I thought you said it best, right? It crosses, there's so many different elements to it, right? But the, I think the overarching thing is, and this is kind of where we are as a society, okay? So stick with me for a second. In my lifetime, there's, you know, 10 of these sorts of stories, right? Of guy from nothing, Jimmy Butler was once homeless, right? Now he's Jimmy Buckets. Kurt Warner was stocking shelves at a grocery store while playing in Europe and Arena League or whatever, and then becomes the NFL's MVP and a Hall of Fame quarterback. There are, we by the way, we never do riches to riches. No one ever grew up with money. No one's ever like, man, I grew up, I had no issues, 3-car garage, and oh yeah, by the way, I made it. Everybody, it's rags to riches, but these top them all. In the changing someone's life through helping by helping from a family, there's so many elements to it, right? This is in Memphis, Tennessee. And you have white family, black athlete. You have kid comes from no means and mom with personal issues to a solid, stable family. That it become literally became what we would call, again, this is child of the 80s, it's an afternoon special. You guys remember we used to, what days were those on, guys, where you get home and there's an afternoon school special?
And midweek all, for sure. They were never on Fridays.
I felt like Wednesday yeah. was the after school special, right? And maybe now you say, well, it's a Lifetime movie. But this was a real movie because we were told it's a real story because it's a real book. And you take all the other elements to it, and to start the week, you felt like, oh my gosh, this family's taking advantage of this kid. Like, this is terrible. The entire story appeared to be fraudulent because based upon one lawsuit, there are allegations that they fleeced him. They literally exploited his name, image, and likeness. Of course, now as the other side of the story comes out and other pieces come out, the most recent part, Dan, and I know you know this. I don't know if everybody else has been paying attention because this story, I don't know if I can't get enough of, but I just want to see it play out before I make some true determination into what and who I believe. The latest is that the Tuohy family doesn't want to have the conservatorship anymore. And, of course, the lawyer came out with some stinging barbs going back 2 days ago. And Michael Lewis, who, of course, was the author and then helped write the movie, Michael Lewis has come out and said, look, this is a Hollywood thing, essentially saying it's a bad contract and Hollywood made $300 million and these people only made $300,000, which they split up evenly amongst everybody. I don't know. It's just a fascinating story, yeah. Dan. You and I, we work together every day, but we haven't because you've been filling in for Covino and Rich, who've been filling in for Dan. Where are you on this whole thing?
Did a complete 180. If you would have talked to me on Monday, I would have been like, gosh, how dare they do this to Michael Orr?
Yeah.
How dare they do this? 24 hours later, I'm like, this is bogus. And the reason is because I just felt who had the most to gain in all of this. And then I found out that Michael Orr's got a book out or coming out or is out and had been making some of the media rounds with some of this. And then I thought, Doug, to myself, how in the world could this family have imagined that this story would be not only turned into a movie, but make the, what, $300 million that you said that it ended up making that would lead to Sandra Bullock winning an Oscar for? There is no possible way that family could have known that or have this be the plan for it to work out for them to then want to screw Michael Orr over and not give him any money.
Yeah, we do this all the time, though, right? And I'm not saying just you. I saw it in real time with so many people in the media. I don't know what becomes of the Brett Favre story. But remember, there was a good week last year during football season where Brett Favre was the worst human being on earth. Now, I don't think that some of the ways in which he went about trying to raise money for the facilities at Southern Miss were perfect. But I also think that as more and more evidence comes out, it doesn't appear that there's any sort of way in which he thought, okay, they're going to use welfare money, right? Like, it's one thing to call somebody who's got a grant, who's sitting on cash and go like, hey, man, can you donate to my school? This will really help me out. This will really help us out. It's a whole other thing to say, like, could you use the money meant for welfare recipients in the poorest state in the union? Let's take food literally out of mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters' hands and put it into a volleyball facility, right? There's a difference there. And I get it, right? Like, when salacious accusations come out, it's like cocaine to all of us in the media. We're like, oh my gosh, we gotta, but we do it all the time. And yeah, now when it comes out, I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. I did think it was a little much. Now, here's where I knew there was something up for a long time is I think all of us on some level have had Michael Orr on back when he was a young, burgeoning, we thought would be star in the NFL, and because we knew the story. But I don't think he's ever spoken about it because every time I've ever had him on or asked to have him on, I've gotten the, hey, look, you can have him on. He's great. But you can't talk about he don't want to talk about the blind side. He want to talk about him, how he's raised. What were you saying, Chase? Go ahead.
There's one exception. Remember, when he wrote his first book, I think it was 2011, he did a media tour. And that was, I think it was called Against All Odds or something like that. Or maybe I'm confusing it with a Phil Collins song. But he did address a lot of this. He wanted to kind of set straight the record from his actual story to the story in the movie. I just don't think he went this hard at the family back then.
Well, there's obviously, I mean, is this one that we're coming back from, right? Like there's, this one's that's going to be hard to rebuild any sort of relationship there. Right. Hey, listen, I know I accused you of stealing $15 million from me, but we're good now, right?
I'll tell you what. Yes, on the surface, it does sound like that. But if the family dynamic was the same in both ways, I think you'd be surprised at what could heal. As crazy as it sounds, like the accusations, if you know one of us did it to the other person, there would be no relationship, even though we work closely together. But if this is supposed to be the family unit that, and it works for both sides, maybe the Tui family feels one way, and Orr obviously feels the other way. But if that is still there, I think that there could be amending no matter how horrendous this.
It's interesting you point that out because I would agree with you. I do think that all relationships, when they're based, you know, when you dig through all the gobbledygook, right, you go through, I mean, obviously you'd have to go through a lot of therapy. You know, I still think there's probably a tremendous amount of love. And, you know, what happens is people stop talking. And I'm like, again, I'm totally guessing from 30,000 feet here.
Sure.
But you're guessing that here's Michael Orr, who is on a trajectory to success, to making $100 million. His NFL career didn't work out, right? And now he starts looking through things and people have been saying like, bro, you made how much from that movie? You made what? Excuse me? You know, and, you know, you get around people who continue to kind of stoke that fire and you don't actually sit down and have conversations with it. It's no different than any sort of marriage breakdown or family breakdown. When you stop talking, you start making up the stories in your head and you start taking snippets of what other people say to you and you create a narrative of your own. And there is definitely a room for redemption, especially if it truly is kind of based upon, you know, love and appreciation for each other. We're not close to that point right now. Right? Because it's not like Michael Orr is like, yeah, hey, my bad.
Yeah, it's way off in the distance. And I also find it interesting, Doug, from what you said at the outset of the show, specifically with this show that we are currently sitting in for the guys for, the Dan Patrick Show. And what is the conversation about Rudy and what Joe Montana said about the movie Rudy? Nobody wants to believe it. Nobody wants to believe that this great blindside story didn't actually turn out like this or actually wasn't like this. And that's the part that's like, if we found out that in Hoosiers, you know, Jimmy doesn't make the shot, if that, you know, didn't happen and it was a fictional story, we'd be like, oh, that's kind of a letdown. But then we feel like, hey, this did happen. This happened at Milan High School in the 1950s. This actually happened. There's something that is tied to it. And so now to have this, I feel that there's a different emotional reaction because you want to believe it's true. I mean, how many years ago did Joe Montana try to shoot down the Rudy, you know, script on this show, and the guys still talk about it? And I think that's a part of this as well, and why, for everything that you said at the outset of why it still affects us right now, is because the story was so good. I don't know if it's, you know, too good to be true, but we don't want it to not be that story.
Is the Kurt Warner the only story that's too good to be true that really is? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that one's pretty amazing. If you really kind of get down to it, like he goes from Arena League and then playing in Europe and really the third string quarterback with the Rams,
the grocery store,
the grocery store thing,
yes,
to the greatest show on turf. And then, oh yeah, by the way, the other element to it was, you know, with the bad was a finger or a hand when he was in New York, they couldn't play him. Like he went, this was my thing. Kurt's a friend. And he's an awesome, awesome dude. And by the way, like, I don't know how many people know this. He's got a gym at his house. And so he always has people over to play like 4-on-4. It's like, it's kind of like 3/4 court length. And you always want to be on Kurt's team because he does make every call and makes a lot of shots, but he's getting the calls. Anyway, but like his Hall of Fame resume was hard because he had like 4 years where he's arguably or inarguably the best quarterback in the league. But he had like 5 years where he couldn't really play. Like he was bad. And he was a backup. Like within the context of his, that's not even taking into account how he made the league, etc. But the thing about Kurt is like he made it from nowhere, then lost it, then was a backup, then made it again in Arizona. Like it's crazy. Yeah. And it's one of those like there's no way. It's too good to be true. And it's not. But the Orr story does appear to be, at least on some level, too good to be true. I just wish we could kind of like, you guys ever seen Mystery Science Theater 3000?
Long time ago, but yes.
Okay, so Mystery Science, to Jay Stu, you didn't say anything, so you've never seen
it. No, I remember it. It's kind of, and then Cheap Seats came after it, kind of ripped it off.
Right, right. And it's basically, you know, you had, the idea was these this guy and a robot, and was there like a dog or something? Can't remember. But they're stuck in space. And so they have to watch these terrible B movies because it's the only thing that they have. And they just make smart ass comments the entire time. Right. I just wish we had like Michael Orr while that movie's being played and say like, well, here's what really happened. Yeah, that's not really how it took place. I don't know. That may be a bummer, too. So I'm not sure. OK, so Dan's done a 180. Where are you, Jay Stu, on this story? Who do you believe as of Thursday, August 17th?
It sure doesn't look good for Michael Orr's side of the story. And I think when the receipts come out, I think the family's probably going to come out looking like they didn't do a whole lot wrong here. I think it's sad, though. Rich Ornberger was in for you earlier in the week, and he had said something along the lines of, this is sad regardless because if this is a pure money play, that means Michael probably went through all of his money. Which is sad because you can't spend that money. That means you got bad advice, financial advice, and he wouldn't be the first nor the last. But the whole thing just stinks. I think I was at that phase on Monday, and I'm still at that phase. But, yeah, that's kind of where it's at. It seems to be leaning towards the family, but I think we'll reserve all final opinions.
John Ramos, how about you?
I just think I agree with Jason. I just think it's sad. It's sad that something that was so powerful, you know, winning Sandra Bullock an Oscar and just kind of being a good, feel-good story has come to this level right now.
Is it sad or is it too bad? Because there are levels.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's too bad. But if you go,
I'll go with sad, but you can
go
with too bad.
I'm going to go with that's too bad.
You're going to go with that's too bad, not sad?
Yeah.
I really thought Dan was doing the lyrics of an 80s pop band or something.
No,
really,
but
did.
I did want to say, remember when Michael Orr sat down and said, take a look at me now, after you made your Against All Odds reference?
Ah, nice.
Phil Collins is one of those guys. He went bald early.
Jeez.
So he never really aged, even when he aged, right? It's one of those. I took one of my daughters to a barbecue joint yesterday, and we walked by a guy, and I said, like, Grace, did you see that guy's hair? She's like, yeah, what about it? I go, like, did you look a little closer? She's like, no, why? I was like, dude, that's the worst rug I've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
And but he was a young guy. He's a good-looking dude, but, you know, I mean, he had, like, the it looked like the whole top was gone, and then he had some real hair on the side, and I don't know if it was a chia pet, like, planted in there, or if it was just one of those sticker things going on. I don't know, but it looked bad. It's just like one of those you want to grab and go like, dude, what are you doing? Like, it's okay. People are bald today.
I've always had a very good inkling for calling out or knowing someone with a toupee since I was young in my younger days.
I agree. My gaydar is bad. My gaydar is bad, but my radar on hair pieces is good. Right? I don't know if you guys like. I think some people have both. Some people have neither. That's where mine breaks down. But I just wanted to, like, you want to grab him and go, like, look, dude, you're a young guy. You're in good shape. You got a good-looking girlfriend. Like, just shave it, right? And then eventually you'll never age. Like, yeah, you're bald at, like, I don't know. He probably looked like he was 30. Like, all right, you're bald at 30. It sucks. Really, really, really hard. Okay, but, like, you know, it's a good hat collection you can go through. And bald's kind of beautiful and cool and kind of masculine. And, you know, by the time you get to 50, you won't look 50. You'll still look 40, right? That's the Phil Collins thing.
John, is this superpower only with toupees, or does it work with wigs as well?
It works with everything.
All right.
Yeah.
Wait, it works with what else?
Wigs. I don't know if it was just male-specific toupees.
Extensions, things like that.
Extensions, yeah. Wigs.
Yep. I'm good at all of that stuff.
I like that. We need to have this needs to be part of the next John Ramos show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie, but it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Dan Patrick Show rolls on. You're on Fox Sports Radio. Doug Gottlieb, Dan Beyer, in for Dan and the Danettes. We do something in the Doug Gottlieb Show daily, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to Pacific, that You know, there's an expression in baseball, like, well, that's baseball. It's kind of like when a woman, girlfriend, significant other, daughter, whatever, when they have sort of bizarre up and down emotional behavior, and you're just like, women, right? Women. And we know what you mean, but we don't know what you mean because we, these guys, we don't really understand it sometimes, right? Well, in baseball, if something doesn't make sense, just how do you explain a guy who, you know, is normally a 220 hitter punching Judy and now he's hitting 330 for the year? That's baseball.
It's time for That's Baseball.
All right, here's an example. Cody Bellinger got a couple hits last night in the Cubs' dramatic come-from-behind win at Wrigley against the White Sox. How about this? Cody Bellinger improved his average to 327. He owns an OPS of 932, 18 home runs, 59 RBI. And by the way, he's almost single-handedly helped the resurgence, led to the resurgence of the Cubs this year. Bellinger is expected to cash in this offseason as a free agent. All of this after spending the last 3 years with the Dodgers looking lost at the plate. Right? Like, somebody get that dude a compass and a Thomas guide because he is lost. How do you explain that kind of turnaround? That's baseball.
That's baseball.
Okay, this one hits close to home. Angels left-hander Reed Detmers came six outs short of pitching his second career no-hitter last night as the Angels beat the Rangers, took one game at least from the series, 2-0. Detmers threw a no-hitter last season. Did you know there's a list of Hall of Famers who never threw a no-hitter? I mean, the greatest pitcher of my lifetime is Pedro Martinez. Nope. Greg Maddux, Roger Clemens, Steve Carlton. How do you explain that Detmers has one, almost had a second, and they have none? That's baseball.
That's baseball.
And finally, the Dodgers won their 10th straight game last night, which shouldn't be surprising given their success in the month of August in recent years. LA is playing 800 ball in the last 4 years in August. 800. Want to know their record in those last 4 years? 78-20. How do you explain a team that plays that well in that month and, by the way, struggles a lot in October? That's baseball.
That's baseball.
All right. I'm told that Dan Beyer has some more memorabilia items up for bid.
That is true, Doug, and our game of the Price is Right. Right now, the Dodgers are so red hot, you couldn't even put a price on their winning streak. We've got some things that are maybe a little bit more affordable. Again, that Doug Gottlieb autographed lanyard from NBA Con last month in Las Vegas, still available on eBay for $29.99. We did have an Aaron Rodgers item up for sale a bit earlier. The scoreboard, by the way, Doug, you lead with 3 points. John Ramos has two. Jason Stewart has one. Final three items here. We had an Aaron Rodgers autographed helmet worth just shy of $1,300. My question is, how much is an autographed Mark Sanchez Jets helmet on eBay? John Ramos, we'll start with you.
$250.
$250. All right, Doug?
$250 or $2.50?
$250.
I'm going to go half of that, $1.25.
All right, Jason Stewart?
I'm going to go $2.50.
All right. Nobody wins because I couldn't find one. There is not an autographed Jets helmet. Sorry, Mark Sanchez. We have done you so dirty.
What if they would have sold the helmet and then the pants attached to it, right? From the butt fumble.
That's priceless, Doug. All right. What about an autographed Jordan Love camouflaged Packers mini helmet? This on the heels of Rodgers. What about an autographed Jordan Love camouflage Packers mini helmet? Jason Stewart, your bid?
Let's see. $101.
$101. John Ramos?
I'll say $50.
And Doug?
I'm going to go 102.
Doug, you get this one, your fourth one. $187.49, it could be yours. Okay, the final item of this auction, even though Doug has won the game, an autographed Dallas Cowboys white mini helmet that's autographed by Johnny Manziel that also says Bleep Jerry Jones on it. John Ramos, how much would you pay for this?
$150.
$150. All right, Doug.
How much would I pay, or how much would it go for?
Online? Yes. How much is it going for?
I'll go $151.
$151, and Jason Stewart?
$152.
It's Jason Stewart's, because it can be yours with profanity and all for $325. There it is. Our Price is Right auction of sports
memorabilia. We need to do a stay at home show hierarchy at some point. Right, because Price is Right was part of it. I mean, I had cable as a kid, so you had Heathcliff and You Can't Do That on Television, and you had, what else did you have? Yeah, a lot of stuff. All right, this is the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Thanks to the boys.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Owning a Mercedes-Benz EV isn't just extraordinary, it's extra easy. With full remote access to your vehicle from your phone via the Mercedes Me Connect app, the vehicles are all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. The choice is all yours. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQ.